And we are live with the Reframing Eye Care podcast. Today's guest is Yukti Vora. You all know her as the nerdy optometrist. And we're going to talk about AI and telemedicine today. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maria Sempalis. For people who don't know, nerdy optometrist does exist only because of Dr. Maria Sempalis.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, those who don't know you, they know you're a trained optometrist. You're based in the U.S., you know, currently the marketing product manager for software solutions at Topcon. And, you know, you've worked over the years with telemedicine companies, being the director of clinical affairs and done some other things. And then you have the Nerdy Optometrist podcast. You do some things overseas as well and been awarded the award and industry influencer and women optometry. So welcome to the podcast and just a great timely podcast to talk about telemedicine and AI in eye care because it's coming by storm. There's a lot of information, a lot of topics on AI and how it correlates to your practice today. And I find it an exciting topic. So why not have a guest that kind of does this all the time, telemedicine and AI, and has experience. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure chatting with you and sharing something that I truly am passionate about, which is eye care and technology, whether it's telemedicine or AI. I think there's so much we can explore in this space. So I'd love to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of progress in telemedicine over the last, you know, 5 years. There's going to be more, right? And I think it just makes us better clinicians and more access to patient care. So how can telemedicine impact the eye care industry? I mean, we all know a little bit, but what is the, you know, a perspective from someone on the inside?
I feel telemedicine has already impacted our industry and not just eye care, an entire healthcare industry. So it is something that though we are still debating, will it really work? Is it just a trend that will fade off, is how I like to say. But trust me, because we also work with like several other primary care practitioners that I talk to, and it is a very normal thing in all the industry, whether it is cardiology, radiology, and so on. So if we have to, if we want to be ahead of the curve, if we want to make sure that, you know, we are staying in alignment with what the healthcare industry is doing, telehealth is going to be the future and the present of eye care. There is no way out.
Yeah, no, it's, I think it's interesting. And I think that's, you know, we get a lot of information from it as well. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the, there's a lot of advantages, but tell me what you think the biggest advantage is and is into incorporate it into a corporate practice, a private practice. I think it can be incorporated to a lot of different settings.
Absolutely. I feel telemedicine has opened a complete different aspect of practicing eye care, which we probably were aware, but never had a chance to explore it. I would say thanks to COVID in some way, because that was like a good byproduct that came out that everybody was forced to adopt telemedicine or telehealth in some shape or form. The fact remains that there is a shortage in terms of demand and supply, the number of optometrists or eye care professionals out there versus the demand in eye care solutions is huge. The gap is huge. Everybody needs glasses, whether they're like kids due to myopia or adults due to presbyopia. There is no way out. At some stage of your life, you will need an eye care. And there are not enough eye care providers. So telehealth or telemedicine will allow you to kind of spread your availability beyond four walls. And that's what I feel is the best part about telehealth. Of course, there are two parts to it. And people do feel more comfortable in one versus the other, which is synchronous format of practicing telehealth or an asynchronous format of practicing telehealth. When I say asynchronous, it is more about, you know, getting the information, reviewing it at a later stage, and then being able to review and respond to the patient. The other is synchronous, which is more like what we are doing right now, right? I see the information live, I talk to the patient live, and I give them insights or recommendations and treatment as I would do to any patients in my practice in person. So synchronous is more comprehensive, more detailed oriented, and this allows me to be in multiple locations, still sitting and practicing from what I recently learned from another doctor who is an expert telehealth practitioner is he likes to call it working from my den. So he works from his den, but he can still see about like 30 patients a day.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I've tried to incorporate some things in my practice with like dry eye follow-ups with telemed. And then just like when you're away, if you want to just do infection checks and things like that, just to get those patients so they don't have to go to the emergency room. I think that's important, or other offices that are really booked. So what have been the biggest challenges for adapting, you know, telehealth solution that you find working with practitioners?
I think some of the challenges, one would be some state regulations and legislatures are still a bit of a challenge. Things have moved forward in several states, but some states are still facing some issues. The other biggest challenge, what I have kind of learned overall in my experience, has been the mindset. As a provider, we have not technically been trained to offer eye care services through telehealth solutions. And that's why we are not very comfortable. And many people might have experienced telehealth during COVID, which I know was not the perfect solution. It was more of like a DIY telehealth solution is what I like to say, where you just had to kind of put something together. And it wasn't a seamless experience. And that's why you feel, oh, it's not something that will work. Or it was just a quick fix, but it's not a long-term solution. But if you take it further and think of it as like a way of practice, because technically, if you're offering synchronous telehealth solution, or if you're offering telehealth solutions for follow-ups like you do, it makes both the lives easy for the practitioners as well as for the patients. They don't have to come up like multiple trips just to kind of do a follow-up. If something can be done from home, you can actually have a hybrid practice where you go 3 days in the office and 2 days you can work remote. And that gives you flexibility to be more with your family or like, you know, work on other things. So somewhere I feel the bigger challenge is maybe bad experience initially, some legislature issues, but most likely I feel it is our mindset to kind of adopt it and give it some time. I feel we want it to be like a plug-in solution, which is still not there yet, but there are many options that you can incorporate it today.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a sense that we're so used to just seeing the patient in the office and doing the regular eye exam, you know, recently just in the corporate optometry group, you know, the conversations have come up about telemed, and the doctors that I talk to, you know, private message or even within the group open, that, you know, that's all they want to do. They just want to practice remote care. That's what they like and whatever their situation is. And, you know, some it's medical conditions. Sometimes they just have a family. But some just like that. They just want to do that. And I think that's fine. I think that's the new, one of the new career paths that some optometrists can take. And that's fine. It's just, as long as you practice a standard of care and they have the, you know, the right equipment and you feel comfortable with what you're doing, that's fine. I think a component as well that doctors have struggled with has been, you know, tech support sometimes. You know, each tech is, the skill level is a little different. Once you find a good tech, I mean, I think it's very easy. I mean, my techs in my office, they know this thing. So do I feel comfortable if I wanted to do it with those that I know? Of course I can. I think that's fine. And I think a lot of these offices have advanced technology, you know, videos, slit lamps, optos, things like that to get the right information. And if they're not, then they refer it to a live in-person doctor. But you know, I think it's just the mindset in the industry, and I think it's going to change. And you're right. COVID has, you know, expedited it a lot faster. So, so I think that it would have came a lot slower if it wasn't for COVID. But now, just like, you know, dovetailing off this, you know, we have telemedicine, but now AI has really exploded in our industry, just the beginnings in our industry. But, you know, I use AI in my practice already. And I think it is a great way for efficiency, seeing more patients, accurate diagnosis, wow factor as well. So give us how you think it's going to impact our industry, AI, because this is the latest. And I'm sure, you know, there are some things going to come out from Topcon and other companies in the next few months.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I believe AI is going to be part of all the industries. I know currently we know a little bit about AI, maybe in the space of diabetic retinopathy screening space, or as well as like, say, you might be using AI to help you with any documentation and stuff. But AI is definitely going to be your assistant or your tool that you didn't really realize you needed it. Trust me, there are so many times I would like to write something, and then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to focus on creating like the outline, and then I let my AI assistant help me, you know, improvise it. That's yeah. how I feel AI is going to even impact our healthcare industry or eye care industry specifically, because at the speed at which it can analyze data, at the speed at which it can give you output, it is humanly, I would say, not possible for many aspects. And it can give you data because we all, specifically in eye care, we collect so much data, whether it is like fundus photography, visual fields, like, you know, our tonometry, lens meter. We have so much data that we collect along with the demographics of the patients. We can actually see so many trends. We can understand how things are moving along with different patients. And AI can help analyze those data and help doctors provide some more customized solutions for that patient, depending on what it has learned. Of course, these tools are not available today, but the first step would be to start incorporating technology into your practice that will allow you to make more sense with the data that you already have. We capture so many fundus images. It would be really nice to understand the trends or be able to kind of participate in this research to educate these AI tools that can quickly help you analyze. So you can spend more time talking to the patient about the conditions versus spending more time in analyzing that fundus image. It would be just nice to be like, okay, these are the five things, start talking about it. Of course, you have to verify it. AI is just an assistant tool, as I mentioned. It's not taking over your job of being a when it comes to diagnosis. It is mainly for screening, but it helps assist you. And that's how I see AI tool as of today.
Yeah, I'll tell you how I use AI in my practice, ChatGPT, writing letters to patients, writing e-blasts to my patients about the, you know, thank you letter maybe to my patients at the end of the year for supporting me and my practice, some social stuff as well. I've used, you know, for videos and they create videos for you. So those have been good to been able to engage within the community of optometry within my office. That's been important. But also, you know, I've used in the past for dry eye, being able to have an image and showing that as well. And I think we've been using a little bit of AI in our practices over the years too, with OCTs kind of giving us, hey, this is a area of thinning, right, within glaucoma, yeah. A little bit of that. But there's a new I use in my practice, AI is Altris AI, and I use it for OCT, for macular OCT right now. I think it's FDA approved, and just started using it for some glaucoma as well. And I think it's very interesting because, you know, a couple of weeks ago I had a patient that, I didn't know what it was. I was questioning. I know there was a macular issue, but before I sent it out to the retina specialist, I wanted to have like a second opinion per se. And it was great to be able to have that, but also show the patient. And I think that the AI tools as well can kind of give us information of the future. So this program will show also for AMD. We know what AMD looks like, but it also show them like how fast you get there. And even on a healthy retina, it showed that you will develop AI, yes, which we don't even notice. And even things maybe on the vessels that we don't check. So I think that's very important. It was a great wow factor to the patient. And of course, I'm going to tell the patient I'm the only one in the state that has it. but mm-hmm. for me, it's a great tool. Like, it's more efficient. I can see more patients. Like, give me the, thing. And I think it might also help, you know, yeah, if you're a clinician, maybe in malpractice as well, to have this and that we talk about it and better outcomes for our patients too. So I think it's something to not be afraid of. I think it's something that, you know, we need to embrace as optometrists. We need to be at the forefront. I think this is the next big thing in eye care, but we need to be in control of it. You know, we need to be at the table with industry and help our profession push forward. So I think that's important because there is a lot of fear in our industry that technology like AI will take jobs away. Just like they said, telemedicine, but they got more jobs. And they never really replaced. There's always, you still need to see a doctor now. So give us your thoughts on, you know, AI replacing optometrists.
Yeah, I think as you rightly said, I nowhere see AI is going to replace optometrists or any eye care professionals at this point. And I think I want to clear that like upfront. And as you rightly said, it is currently at a stage where it is at an infancy level, where it will, even if it is developed, it will be more like an assistant. Like even when you say I'm using ChatGPT, right? There's so many times you would write some prompt, it will give an answer. Like, no, this is not what I mean to say. It will just be like an assistant tool to kind of help you modify and make it better. Similarly for, you know, reviewing patients' data, like fundus images or OCTs, it could help you for a second opinion to help you validate the things that you already know. You still need to be a very good clinician to be able to pick the gaps what AI might not be able to offer. Like AI is just learning from the data it has been provided. So sometimes if you feed AI the same data again and again, the information might be skewed. So it's very important for you to pick the right AI solution as well as know your clinical stuff very well. And as you rightly said, right, like we all know that one retinal image can tell you about your entire health, like your body health, not just eye health, right? We can pick diabetes, blood pressure, cardiovascular changes, age-related changes, things that we can ask the patients to kind of how they can take care of their overall health. Like a couple of years ago, Google had also done like a presentation of showing like how one retinal image can give so much information. So we know Google is already investing in technologies where they can use our fundus images and kind of provide more information about a complete health. Knowing, being the eye care experts, knowing, being the retina experts, as you rightly said, we need to be at the forefront of the development of the technology to make sure that it is being developed correctly with the facts and it is able to kind of give the right information both to the patients as well as to the clinicians. So though AI, we are looking at AI just for say OCTs and like for retinal changes today, but you can actually broader your offerings to complete healthcare solutions. Just with one scan, it can tell you what your cardiovascular status will be, what your diabetes solution could be, what how can you improve your overall health with like more multivitamins and omega-3 supplements. So you can do so much more with one retinal scan, and you can offer so much more information which otherwise you might not be able to do it. So it will actually help you wider your practice or scope of practice versus you feel it will take away your job. So that's how I feel AI is kind of getting into our practices.
Yeah, I think it's also with like staff shortage now, we have like virtual scribes. I think, you know, we can talk to the computer and the AI will, you know, document in our electronic medical records. I think that's coming through. You know, I use Virtual Field for my, you know, my field device. It has, you know, an AI component that directs the patient to look straight ahead. So you're not, you know, having extra tech support. I think that's also staff efficiencies. And, you know, you can focus your staff on other things that, yes, you know, help make your office better. I mean, we see it on our website too. Like, how can we help you? Chat in the director right to that, right? That's all been, those are all been features. These are all things that help our practices, but also, you know, take that tedious stuff from, you know, the office manager to focus on what's important, like billing. I mean, I think also maybe it could be something for billing and coding in our office and maybe within this, our systems to be like, oh, you know, you could bill this part, you missed this, or maybe, you know, other things to help our practice and be more efficient and less staff, you know, as well. So I think it's a win for a lot of people. Again, as long as optometry is at the table, I think it's important.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you did bring up very good points about like the staffing challenges, because that's the reality. Many people are ready to open a practice, but they are facing a huge gap in kind of having or hiring the right tech. And with technology, it is not just helping you, but also it is easier for your staff to kind of manage multiple things with less overhead. So I think that's definitely a great way to look at technology as an assistant. And trust me, I mean, whether, you know, it's you just simply using ChatGPT, once you start using it, you really enjoy it. It is something that you really feel like, okay, it's genuinely making your work or your life easy. Nobody likes to document same thing like 30 to 40 times a day. If I could have an assistant who I can just talk to and he can start typing things for me and I can just review it in one glance and save 5 minutes every patient, I would take that. So I think it's time for us to be less worried and more adaptive to these technologies and AI.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of technology, a lot of solutions out there So what steps can optometrists take, eye care professionals take to really adapt to this if they want to make the change and start, you know, practicing 2024 optometry?
I think there are a couple of things, and I personally believe the best way to start incorporating these things could be starting small. You don't need to incorporate all the technologies today, but that does not mean that you wait forever. So you have to start somewhere. It could be as simple as going digital with your devices, because devices will give you the ability to even have the good software. So it could start from as simple as upgrading your manual for Opta to a digital for Opta. It could be as simple as incorporating more OCTs and more clinical data that you can collect, so that when you have the software on top of it and when you combine all your clinical data, it will give you more information that will help you expand your practice. It could be as simple as that. Start looking at different technology, explore it, and see what works best for your practice. It could be, what are your challenges? Is the challenge being efficiency with your staffing? Then probably look at technologies which are more automated, and you need probably one or two people versus like three staff people to manage it. So depending on what your practice requires, start incorporating technologies accordingly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope the listeners found this podcast enlightening and seeing what the future of optometry can hold, and maybe how you can incorporate telemedicine or AI in your practice. And AI is very affordable. It's very affordable for your practice. They're not expensive, and a lot of the devices that are out there are coming up with latest features because they know staffing shortages. They know that we need efficiency. We know that, you know, there's payer issues. So this is a great way to, you know, help grow your practice. And maybe even start that cold start that you might have considered in the past. So, and if anyone has any questions, is there an email that they can contact you to talk about this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions. They can reach out to me at optomukti, optomukti@gmail.com, or they can always reach out to me through all my social media handle, which is Nerdy Optometrist. So feel free to reach out to me in either way possible, and I would be more than happy to kind of discuss this further. And yes, let's get on this early on. We all need to be ahead of this technology and be part of this change and push the boundaries further.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.